Hey, Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
What's standing between you and your first sale on Shopify? Time, expertise, resources? What if you could multiply all three? Product descriptions? Done. Store insights? Delivered. 2 a.m. customer questions? Handled instantly. Entrepreneurs on Shopify are reaching their first sale faster with AI that works with you. Go to shopify.com/firstsale to see how entrepreneurs use AI to grow their businesses faster. That's shopify.com/firstsale.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Welcome to the Ted Lasso podcast. We're the Lorehounds, your pundits for the Premier Football League. I'm John.
And I'm David, and this is our coverage of the Apple TV original series, Ted Lasso.
In this podcast, we'll be sharing our favorite laugh out loud moments before running down our top three moments from season 3, episode 4, The Big Week. Be sure to stick around at the end of the podcast for programming notes about our podcasting schedule for the rest of April.
Quick housekeeping. For early access to ad-free episodes and exclusive content, visit patreon.com/thelorehounds. If you're enjoying our content and want to give us a leg up, leave us a review and or rating on Apple Podcasts. Ratings help our standing in the Premier Leagues. I mean the podcast rankings. Plus, they give John and I warm fuzzies.
A quick reminder that for this season of Ted Lasso, we're just doing some short recaps. But to make these podcasts a bit more fun, we're asking for your help to break down these episodes. Send in your favorite laugh out loud moments, as well as comments on any of the plot lines that we've not covered.
So typically, the Ted Lasso episodes are showing up at 9 p.m. on Tuesdays, which should be Wednesday midnight for Greenwich Mean Time. And that means that we're going to be recording our episodes usually on Thursdays. So you've got a couple of days to get your feedback in, and we want to be able to have that so we can include it in the recording.
Send emails to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com or head to our website and either use the voicemail feature or the contact form. You can also post a message in our Discord server and we can include those as well. Link is in the show notes if you want to join the conversation there.
All right, John, just quickly, what did you think of this episode?
This had the most one-liners for me that made me chuckle.
Oh, really?
I think so. I think okay. I was chuckling for most of the episode.
Nice.
I couldn't even tell you what half of them were. They were just so quick. Right. But I was just in a constant state of delight. Part of that, I think, was it was a tense episode that needed a lot of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And it delivered, right? It didn't feel out of place either. I thought that every joke felt well delivered. And every joke felt like it was adding something to the discourse. Adding something to the conversation that was happening and adding something to the themes, especially, you know, Ted sort of confronting this whole non-confrontational thing he has.
Right.
And so I thought it was great. I thought it really moved a lot of things forward. I love what they're doing with, you know, Ted and Nate's relationship. That is something that is a long time coming. I think that a lot of us were disappointed with sort of where we left that last season. It just felt very incomplete. And yep. I'm really glad that we're finally seeing that fleshed out. So what did you think about it?
This one, last week, I was busting a gut every other minute. This one, I was way more... this one hit me in the feels a lot harder. And it felt... my reaction to it was one a much more of a somber and emotional and soulful And yeah, there's good punctuations of humor, but it didn't have me side-splitting like last season okay. did, or last episode sure. did. That sure. said, I really enjoyed this episode. I've watched it twice now. I think we'll watch it again with my spouse tonight. There's so much depth going on here, and it's so hard to podcast about this show doing this our short form experiment here.
I know I had to add a comment in our outline. Stop expanding this podcast.
Yeah, because I'll just go and go and go and go. At the bottom of our outline, I've just got all these notes that I just have to leave on the cutting room floor. It's really frustrating. So. Really, really, really please write in. And if you don't hear us talk about a theme that you are interested in, drop us a quick note, drop it on the Discord, tag one of us so we can get it in, because there's too much to cover just between the two of us. But otherwise, yeah, really good. One critique about this episode was there was some bad, less than good green screen stuff going on when they had the coaches on the side of the sure. soccer pitch. And it was like, it was a little bit off. It was fine. It didn't take me out of the verisimilitude, but I noticed it.
Yeah. And again, this is not really that fine. Kind of show anyway, right?
No.
You know, it's we're focused on the dialogue. We're focused on the characters.
And the
we're not really focused on any like beautiful moments. You know, we're not judging the flight into Mandalore.
Right. Exactly. So it was fine. All right. Should we get into the episode synopsis?
Let's do it. It's the week of Richmond's first match with Coach Nate's West Ham United. Ted wakes up next to Sassy Smurf and asks her on a real date. She tells him, God no, and that he's a mess, which the Diamond Dogs and Rebecca confirm. The team discovers that the Believe sign was ripped in half, and Trent, Beard, and Roy find the footage of Nate ripping it up. Both Nate and Ted are politely pressured by their bosses to win their match. Nate agonizes over whether to apologize to Ted, then unsuccessfully tries to woo the hostess of his favorite restaurant with his new job, succeeding only in wooing her manager. When arriving at the match, Nate tries to apologize to Ted, but abandons the apology when Rupert sees him. In the first half of the game, Nate out-strategizes Richmond. Rebecca panics about losing to a taunting Rupert. Behind Ted's back, Beard and Roy show the video of Nate to the team, who becomes enraged and spends the second half of the game assaulting the other team and getting penalties. Richmond loses and Nate accidentally snubs Ted. Beard and Roy ask Ted to berate them, but he lets them off easy. Rupert warms up to Nate at the celebration party and presents him with a date while flaunting his own affair that Rebecca discovered. At home, Ted confronts Michelle about dating their ex-therapist. Boy, a packed episode, huh?
It's seriously packed episode. And we're, what, 4 episodes in on a...
Yeah.
What is it, a 12
episode. So we're a third of the season in.
Just like Ted says, there's a lot of football left in the season, boys. Oh, yeah. So let's move it along. John, your favorite, the moment that had you laugh out loud the loudest?
I would say the team glaring at Nate one by one.
Nice.
Really yeah. had me just down the line, and Nate just like, you know, he's been a tough guy the right. whole season, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, what's happening? I enjoyed that one. It was fun to see him squirm a bit. How about you?
I really struggled because there were several.
Yeah.
I have to go with Jamie's headlamp.
Roy's headlamp.
Sorry, Jamie's right? No, Jamie's headlamp.
Okay.
At the end of this episode, when Roy knocks on his door, and they set it up at the beginning, right? So when Nate, he's like, "Well, how can you see?" And Roy puts on his little headlamp. When Jamie comes out of the door on that that second knock, he's got this big old effing car headlight strapped to his head. It's got like 5 lights on it, and he goes, "Let's go, coach." And it was a perfect comic timing because he knocks on the door opens, and then there's Jamie with this like honking, you know, thing.
It's got
like the biggest headlamp you can buy on the market.
Right.
So it was beautiful. I got to smuggle one in, and that was just the callback to she vomited when Sassy was talking about how much red wine she vomited up, and it was at, like the elevator from The Shining.
Yeah, that was good.
I got to smuggle that one. Sorry.
Yeah, that was super funny, the Shining comment.
Yeah.
All right, I think it's time to go into our top 3 moments.
100%.
David, what is your top moment?
It's got to be Tate and Ned. Ted and Nate.
Very different characters.
Yes, exactly. Something that I caught on my second watch, and it was there, but it didn't really connect it, was that both Nate and Ted have little figurines of each other. Ted's is a Lego, and Nate's is like a kind of some sort of toy soccer game. And when he flicks the ball knocks Ted off, and Nate sort of, you know, twirls his mustache and goes, oh, so sorry. But then he picks him up and puts him back on the playing field with all the other little figurines. And then there's a soulful moment and some soulful music. And you can see that they're telegraphing to us that there's something good still inside of Nate. Father, I can sense the good in you. And so we can, you know, start to see that they're shaping the trajectory now of what's going to happen between these two. And then there's a parallel. There's a couple of things that are going on. I mean, there's obviously the whole thing of Ted being a mess and holding in his carbon dioxide, which is sort of poisoning him. And the anger of the team is like the anger that's inside of Ted. But Ted's not really angry at Nate. He's angry at other stuff. So there's some interesting paralleling and inverting going on there. And then, obviously, the whole Palpatine part of Rupert here, wooing.
Big Palpatine energy.
Big Palpy, yeah, bringing him back to the dark side, grooming him. And when he sits down, when Rupert sits down with Nate at Nate's desk, and says, Nate, you've done nothing wrong, you've earned this this job, I really was being wooed. I mean, the acting that was being delivered there was great. And, you know, it was really kind and honest, but we know that we can't trust Rupert. He's very, very sinister.
You know, it's funny. I was watching with my wife, and she was like, it's like Darth Vader and Palpatine? And I was like, yep. She goes, I got it right.
Good job.
She's not a Star Wars fan, but she did know that one.
I've got it. And then there's just during the overall arc of this little story lit here, this mini story, there's a couple of things that I just thought were perfectly hilarious and added the levity that we need for balancing out the seriousness of the relationship. One of them is just the physical comedy of Nate trying to rip the sign. Like, he gets up on a wheelchair and he goes, woo! That was brilliant. That was inspired. And then the reveal in the elevator. And I knew Nate was going to be in the elevator. And then we got to the end and there's like, he's not there. And then Ted steps to the side, and they've done this a lot in this season so far, like with Zava and Ted, you know, blocking each other. They're doing a lot of that, which I think is fun and cute. And then when Ted steps aside, and then we see Nate in the corner there, it was both hilarious and touching and sad, sort of all in the moment, which is, I think, the totality of the relationship between these two guys.
Well, and I think that the fact that they had a panic attack coming on to Nate in episode one, I think shows...
Nate's panic attack or Ted's?
Nate. I think in episode one, when he was giving the press conference, they were doing the sound effect.
Oh, right. Yes. Ted's, I forgot about that.
Panic attacks
for
Nate. And I think that they're kind of trying to show, you know, these are two people with insecurities, right? And, Ted is working to approach his. Nate is only getting validation of his bad coping mechanisms from his boss.
All right, John, what is your number one?
My number one would be Ted's monologue to Michelle. It was just so, first of all, amazingly delivered, right? I mean, Jason Sudeikis is just giving us a masterclass in selling an emotional line. I don't even know how to describe it. It was just, he came from a place of love while still expressing his anger.
Yep.
And he didn't do a laundry list. He didn't say, well, it's bad because it was unethical. I think in his head he goes, well, she knows that it was bad, right? Like, that's why she hid it. She knows that it was bad. And right. I need to just tell her that I'm not comfortable with it, that it bothered me because I can't lie to myself anymore, because that's why I'm drinking all the time. That's why I'm
depressed. Notice, right, he puts the drink down. He doesn't take a drink. He puts it down and he goes and deals with it. Yeah, he stopped his self-medication.
Right.
Really good point.
he needed to actually, he wanted the cure instead of the treatment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, yeah, it was super sad to see. I think it really struck a nerve with Michelle. Okay. I think the way she looked at the end was like, yeah, I fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because,
but I also detected, and this, I think this could have been there at both levels, which is, again, great acting on all of these guys' parts, was that she's also proud and happy that Ted is emotionally maturing, right? He's actually able to express something other than hyper-optimism.
Right, right.
He's actually in touch with his real feelings as opposed to glossing them over.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, the more I think about this ex-therapist thing, the more bothered I am about it. I mean,
we got some feedback about that, so we'll definitely touch on it when we get there.
Let's talk about that later. But
yeah,
I really like how he doesn't say like, well, he doesn't only say that we're stuck together. He says, I love you and I love Henry. And I didn't
but
get
I love
that
our family.
A romantic hug, a romantic love. That was a
correct.
I love the fact that you are my child's mother and the fact that we can have a good co-parenting relationship.
Right. And he does love her, just not in a romantic way, right? Love is a multifaceted thing.
Although he probably still has some feelings, but...
But I mean, it takes a while for you to come off your ex, right? Like what's her name?
Sassy Smurf.
Sassy Smurf says, you know, I'm just a mess 3 years further on, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, he's still unpacking
that.
It. Yeah.
I like that. I mean, aren't we all just unpacking stuff for the rest of our lives?
Basically, yeah. We live in this happy-go-lucky zone until we hit preteen and then teen years, and then the rest of our life is in therapy. But yeah, I think you touch on a really good point, is that families can look like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, the circumstances are they have to co-parent. And I think Ted is making the affirmative choice to co-parent with love rather than animosity and antagonism and hurt feelings and bringing all that into the relationship. He's choosing something different, and that's beautiful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it is. So let's move on to the next moment. David, what's your number two?
It's Nate and Jade. Jade, okay. The hostess at the restaurant he goes to. The physical comedy of him not able to open the door, coming and going both ways, was brilliant, lovely, just so endearing. Calling him Jason Jelly had me, chuckling. And Jade is just inscrutable. Do we really know what she's feeling? Do we really know what she's thinking? The actress is just playing this great panned flat dead thing. And I think she's starting to take a shine to him. I think I detected a little bit of softening in her reaction to him. Because now hear me out. Here's the thing. It's a perfect rom-com gambit. And this whole show, they've been layering in this whole rom-com stuff. I mean, it's the whole rom-com thing and having Ted know all that stuff about those films is a perfect overlay with Jason Sudeikis, right? Because that's part of his cornerstone. And so I totally think that they are smuggling in some rom-com stuff here with Jade and Nate. So I'm looking forward to see that develop.
Right, right. Yeah. I'm going to disagree with you. I think that they're going to subvert that. Because I thought she still looked kind of like, okay, move along after, because Nate gave her the look, right? After the whole manager bit where he goes, oh my God, you're my hero. Yeah. Take the free food. You're amazing. Nate basically looks at her like, huh?
Yeah, check me out.
And she just looks at him like, okay, goodbye. That's
but
what
then
I
there's
out
a final,
that.
There's a final, final look where she just is kind of like, hmm.
Sure, sure. But so, I think she's more confused than anything. Befuddled. Yeah. That's my word of the week. I've been using that on like every
befuddled.
Podcast. She's
nice.
Befuddled.
All right. Well, hey, we've got a, you know, is Joel a monster or a hero? You know, we've got, are Nate and Jade a thing or not? Write in and let John know that he's wrong.
Besmirched or befuddled?
Besmirched. Besmirched or befuddled?
Oh, no, not besmirched. Things. That's the, what's the word I'm looking for? Let's say betrothed. Betrothed or befuddled.
Betrothed or befuddled. Okay. Fair enough. All right. But write in. Let John know that he's wrong. So.
All right. Fair enough.
John, your number two.
My number two was Roy's denial of the Diamond Dogs while still participating. He goes on the opposite side of the wall. He closes the door. And then he decides to shout the minute that he hears something he disagrees with.
Yeah.
Very funny.
I need Trent Krim to be a Diamond Dog.
I think he will be. I mean, he's a...
Before the end of the season.
Didn't we try to classify him as a dog species at some point? A dog subspecies, dog breed?
Did we?
I think we might have. Let's do it now if we haven't. What do you think? What kind of dog is Trent Krim?
Ooh, you know, I don't know dog breeds very well. Got a very poodle hair.
Oh, that's doing him some dirty.
Is that doing dirty? Okay. I don't know dog breeds. Dirty. I'm not a dog person. I'm cat person. I'm a Grogu person.
I'm going to say Samoyed. Very chill.
Okay.
Doesn't speak much, but very loud when he does.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Trent has a very smooth exterior, and I'm looking for it. I really do hope, because I think if he's a member of the Diamond Dogs, his analysis and insight will be very on point.
I think that Trent Krim would make an excellent Diamond Dog. I think he would make an excellent addition to the team. And you're right, his insights would be valuable. Trent, I still haven't gotten a read on him. You know, I mean, I think that we have had some clues that he's a good person. We've also had some clues that he's a little bit of a shark.
Mm-hmm.
And it could go either way, and I do like that tension. It's a good tension ramping up, just like we had the tension of will Nate betray Ted or not last season. Mm-hmm.
Right, and we've got stakes with Colin and his relationship from the previous episode. Sure. And there was a moment in the locker room when they were joking about, I think Isaac said about the TV news anchor, oh, that's my guy. And Colin jokingly says, no, he's mine. And then they do a real quick cut to Trent, like looking up from his notebook and looking right at Colin and going, doing.
Yes.
You know, yes, his radar went off. Yeah. So we've definitely got to see some more of what happens there. And I'm still hoping that Trent is on the same team as Colin.
Maybe. I mean, I think it would be fine either way, as long as he's nice to him.
As long as he's an ally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At a minimum.
David, what's your number three?
My number three is the music overall in this episode. There was a bunch of great songs, and the final song, I think, really was a great cherry on top for the whole episode. The when they're coming off the bus at the West Ham Stadium, we've got The Rebirth of Slick, Cool Like That by Diggable Planets, which was a fun little callback. And then during the soccer match, during the second half, when the Richmond are playing like Italians, which is
that was really funny. Yeah.
That was a good line. We get Fist Fight by Crisis of Conformity, which I believe was an LA punk band back in the day. I had a short period of punkness in my life, and so that brought back some fun memories.
I thought that was when Joker and the Thief played.
Was that Joker and the Thief by Wolfmother? I'm not sure.
My wife and I love the song Joker and the Thief. We used to rock out to Wolfmother.
Nice.
And because I was in, I think, middle school when that came out. You know, I was just learning to play the guitar, and that album came out. And that, I was like, ah! And also, that's such an easy riff to play on the guitar, because it's just like, it's just very easy anyway. And so it was something that I could play, and I could feel like I was on top of the world with this cool riff that
I'm
just learning to play the guitar.
Feeling the power, yeah.
Yeah, and so when we heard guitar that, we like turned to each other like, yes!
Right.
It was very good. I thought it was Joker and the Thief, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, during the actual on-pitch confrontations.
Oh, yeah, no,
red
I think
cards and stuff. That I was Fist Fight by Crisis of Conformity.
I think Wolfmother, the Joker and the Thief, was when they were in the locker room and coming out, right? That was when they first got hype.
Yeah, exactly. So and then the final song, Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, which is a Bob Dylan song, written song, and which is it's a kind of an amalgamation of some folk songs and some other bits and pieces. But this version was the Peter, Paul, and Mary version, which really popularized the song as well. It kind of gave it a second stage booster.
Yeah.
And it's a really interesting song about a breakup. And in, I think it's like four stanzas. And in each stanza, the narrator is going through different phases of the breakup. You know, the first one is like, well, fine, you know, I'm leaving. And then like the second stanza is like, but maybe if you called me back, I would come. And then it sort of ends with this like ironic, well, you know, such is life. And, you know, just moving on with my, you know, just got to move on with the, with things. And I just, the guitar acoustic-ness of the song and the lyrics and the tonality just really fit the whole thing with Ted and Michelle. And it just put a perfect cherry on top of the episode for me. So good job, music producers, for pulling some fun music in this episode.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, totally.
All right, number three, John.
I really enjoyed Beard and Roy groveling to Ted and asking him to hit them and all that. It was just very, it was very Ted Lasso. It was, you know, he was the disappointed dad.
Yeah.
He just wouldn't yell at them, which is worse than yelling at them to them, right? Like they just, because if he yells at them, then it's over, right? And then they could focus on what he's saying and right. not on what they did. And be like, oh, you know, he yelled at us. He shouldn't have yelled at us. But no, now they have to just feel like assholes for the rest of the day because they ruined the big game. That was the big game. They needed was the to win game. That.
And Rebecca had put a lot of pressure on Ted to win that one. So
I know. Oh, and serious. Her going, we should have talked about this. Her going like manic with him, just coming down like, it's great. I'm so proud of you. We could do it. Oh boy.
And that's what I was saying before at the top of the episode was it's so hard to short dissect this show because I had a whole note section on Rebecca in this episode. Yeah. You know, her interactions with Rupert, her interactions with Bex.
Right.
I mean, there was some great stuff there. And then like she's talking to Ted, like, Ted, I believe in you. Go out, have fun. And she's trying to do the Ted thing. She's trying to relate to Ted as Ted.
Right.
And it's not really working. Ted's like, well, this is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
He's like, I need you to be a little colder.
Yeah. Got to be killer. Sometimes it's okay to be a killer.
Yeah. You know,
Beard says.
One thing that I was very curious about by the end of the episode was, what is she going to do with the information that Rupert's now having an affair?
Whew. Yeah.
Because in some way, I think she's very mad at Bex. And in another way, she's like, Bex is solidarity. Just me 10 years ago.
You exactly. Know? Yep. Did you notice how Bex was negging Rupert a couple of times?
Yeah.
She when Rebecca asks Rupert about how the baby's doing, it said like wandering around drooling and pooping or something like that, and then Bex is like, "Oh, kind of like her, like her father."
Oh man!
And then when they're leaving, she says, "Come on, old man, it's time to get you home for bed," or something to that effect. And it was like, "Wow, Bex is like not there's some fire there. She's not just a woolly eye, you know, like wide eyed youth who's impressed with Rupert, but she's actually sort of taking control of some things here." So,
well, and that's what Rupert hates. That's why he's having an affair. Is that he likes to have a young person who has no personality.
Adores.
And just
fawning.
Worships him. Yep.
Yeah. And then now we've got this secret sex club.
Yeah, what is that? That was wild. There's too much to talk about. We're gonna have to move on, David.
Call it. Write in. Leave a voicemail. Go to our website. Write in.
Yeah.
If you're on the Discord, tag us so that we know that you want your comment and we can scrape those up. Speaking of that, we've got one piece of feedback.
All right.
We have Wandering Not Lost via our Discord, and Wandering Not Lost is a Lorehound Patreon subscriber. So thank you for writing in. They say, as a licensed professional counselor in Virginia, I must say that the couple's therapist is unethical AF. Not all states have strict time frames on when you can date an ex-client, but when there is one, it's usually like 2 to 5 years after discharge. I think the show said it was like a year and a half. I would report him. They updated their post and said, out of curiosity, I looked up Virginia's regulations, which are a minimum of 5 years after discharge to start a romantic or sexual relationship. And The counselor is required to document how the relationship is not exploitative. Kansas's regulations are 2 years after discharge. Also, the funniest joke, obviously, referring to last episode, when Ted asks if Zava was possibly in the middle of Virginia somewhere, Richmond, Virginia, where we have a soccer team, the Kickers, who actually have their home opener last week, up the ruse. Thank you very much, Wandering Not Lost, for that excellent research. John, I think that lends some credence to your cringe factor here.
Yeah, I mean, it's literally illegal, right? I mean, I know we talked about it. It's not going to get you in court, but right. It could revoke your license. A lot of these, you know, these licensed professions, they have boards. They have like internal boards that allow to regulate themselves.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, this guy probably could have his license suspended or even revoked, depending on the severity.
I was talking with Wandering Not Lost a little bit on the Discord of kind of follow up, and they were saying that it could affect your insurance. Could infect your ability to be licensed and your ratings and standards. So it could have like really serious professional ramifications. Yeah, you may not end up in the county lockup, but you're going to take a big hit professionally.
Right, exactly.
It's not a joke.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, it's very concerning to me. I'm glad we got this feedback. So thank you, Wandering Not Lost.
Remember to send in email to lorehounds@thelorehounds.com. Head over to our website, thelorehounds.com/contact. You can use the voicemail feature. It's super easy. Just click the button and the web browser will record you. It'll send us the audio clip and then we can drop that right in. And of course, pop onto the Discord if you want. John, our outro Patreon shout out. Thank you so much to our Lore Master patrons and to all our patrons. But a quick rundown of our top tier supporters: Samartian, Cyrus, Mark H., Michael G., Michelle E., David W., Brian P., Nick W., SC, Peter OH, Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Lavinia T., Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., and Gareth C. What do we have in April for programming notes, John?
Just a quick reminder, we have our Patreon exclusive second breakfast tomorrow. That's going to be on eggs in Raising, Arizona. It's very it's a raucous episode. I think we had a lot of fun making it, and we still have to record the second half of it after this.
Yes, right.
But I'm kind of glad because we got a ton of Star Wars news. Speaking of Star Wars, we are covering The Mandalorian every week, so check that out on our Firehose feed. We also just did a Bad Batch episode on the Star Wars animation and Bad Batch and Visions, which you recapped volume one for us.
Yep, enjoyable.
And also, if you haven't checked it out, the Lorehounds Play with Brandon the Bard. We covered The Last of Us Part 1A, and we're going to do Part 1B in the next couple weeks. So keep an eye out for that. Thanks so much for being with us, and we will see you soon. The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Now at Menards, save big on everything for your landscaping project. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Plus, get fast free estimates when you use our landscape design program available in-store and on Menards.com. Save big on landscape blocks when you shop at Menards. Also, check out the great deals from our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.